Welcome to episode 176 of the Better With Running podcast. My name is Chris Armstrong. I'm a Run to PB coach, and I'm here to kick off the new year in style with a fellow Run to PB coach, and he's always here. But Zach Newman, how are you, mate? Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year to you, Chris-o. Yeah, I know you sort of phrase that like I'm always here, just like someone just
You're just hanging
hanging
around.
around.
Oh, Zach. Zach is back again.
Yeah, just hanging out by the microphone. On talk about microphones, Chris-o, I think the listeners are going to be in for a treat because you've upgraded your microphone setup, looking very, very pro. I think you've tried to outdo our guest that's jumping on in a minute, but
Well,
impressive setup, mate.
Had a team meeting and was pretty much told that I wasn't professional enough and that my sound was almost as if I was recording from the toilet. That feedback may have come from my brother. Hi, Nick. Thanks for listening. Do love the feedback, but he has been most helpful in pointing me in the right direction for a microphone and a headset. So, hopefully I speak a little bit more common sense. I say I'm less and you can hear me better.
Right, and joining us tonight for Road to Osaka episode 2, or we've coined it Chasing That Feeling, because that photo that we use in the promo is the feeling of a PB, a feeling of relief. And it is Elise Beacom, who's come back on for round 2. Welcome to the show, Elise.
Hey, thanks, Zaka. Thanks, Chris. Not recording from the bathroom, though. I heard that Elvis used to do that because the acoustics were pretty good. So you could have been onto something there, Chris.
Mate, between recording in the bathroom and smashing fried peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, well, Elvis was living a dream. So, yeah, like if we can take a leaf out of his book and even reach like 1% of his popularity, mate, Zaka, we're going places. We can throw the jobs in. We're going to make some serious cash money this year.
Sure. I mean, if we get past 9 o'clock recording, we might even be able to talk you into some karaoke, some Elvis, belt out some Elvis.
Mate, past 9 o'clock, I'm pretty much open for anything. So for the record, though, it is 7:36 p.m. So if we reach an hour 20 plus in recording time, that's when things may get a little bit loose.
Oh, let's pad it out.
Oh, shit.
Elise, what's been happening? So when we caught up last time, I don't think you'd left for Adelaide, or maybe you had. I think you might have been in Adelaide.
I think you're in Adelaide.
Yeah, I was already in Adelaide. I think I just arrived and was just about to do a session, or had done a session. But yeah, was there for Christmas, lots of social and family catch-ups and stuff, and trying to squeeze all the running in between all of that stuff, as I'm sure you guys have been doing as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess with Christmas falling on, it was on the Monday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you would have had Saturday and then Sunday. Yeah, so the Sunday long run was a Christmas Eve one, but Saturday was a bit of a Christmas theme park run I saw. So I guess that was, what, 9 weeks out that weekend going into?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. 23rd, it looked like you did a pacing job for one of your athletes or friends, or what was the go with that one?
Yeah, I did. For Hannah McGrath, shout out to Hannah, Run to PB athlete. And Hannah was trying to get a 5K PB. So when we first started working together, she'd run 20:55 in mid-October, and was wanting to get closer to that sub 20 sort of goal. So we actually lined up the schedule a little bit so that we could have a crack when I was going to be in Adelaide, because she's based in Adelaide. And so, yeah, that was really good fun. We did the Pakapakanthi Park Run, which is in like Vic Park there, so nice and flat. Hannah had had a she'd had a few she'd been training super well, training the house down, and then had a bout of sickness and some uni exams and stuff a bit later in the block. So she was not sure about breaking the 20, but we did manage to get pretty close, and she ran 20:19, which was an awesome result. And it was just
Good.
really fun to be able to do it with her.
That's awesome. Big numbers down there.
Huge. Yeah, I think there were at least a few hundred. I'm trying to think if it was that day or Christmas Day park run, they had 400 people. It was pretty
Wow.
big. Yeah. And a slight course change too. So the course was a little bit more challenging than usual. So yeah, cranked out a really good time.
Was the urge there to dress up like as a reindeer or a Santa theme or anything like that for pacing? Because like park run, I know it's very popular here in Shepparton around Christmas time to come along in a Christmas theme. But given your pacing duties, was there the urge to sort of dress up a bit festive?
I actually didn't. I wore some bright colors. I think so Hannah could spot me because we'd never met IRL. I did wear a, it was almost like a Elizabethan collar with bells on it for Christmas Day park run. I thought I'd save my best gear for the real event, the Christmas event, which was actually really annoying because I just sounded like a sleigh constantly.
So that's not standard running
Not
attire.
standard, no,
No.
yeah, no, not standard. There was a guy who definitely got best dressed, and he was dressed as a Christmas tree, like in a full
Oh.
sort of Christmas tree setup. So not
Decorations
sure what
on.
the chafe is like with that one.
Yeah.
So was he like full tinsel, like full proper tinsel Christmas tree, or is it more of a felt setup, or what was he rolling?
Oh, felt.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
Oh, yeah,
with
okay.
like baubles and stuff.
Oh. That's I hope there are like no dogs that sort of got like that's a genuine tree and sort of went to go and mark the territory or anything like that, because that could have got a bit awkward.
Definitely, yeah, for sure.
Heading into world record chat ter territory there, Chriso.
Mate, we could do a festive special on some world records, so yeah.
Fastest Christmas tree running a 5K and being peed on by a dog, world record.
It is a unique double, actually. It's funny you mentioned that. One of my athletes, Chris Banning, he also owns a felt Christmas tree, and he did participate in parkrun dressed exactly the same. And he had what looked like a couple of tissue boxes, but I'm assured that it was just felt covering his shoes to look like presents under the tree. So no baubles though, no baubles, but very impressive effort. Did look like, based on the expression on his face as he was crossing the finishing line, which he did go just under sub 20, I believe. May have poached himself though. Did overheat.
Ooh.
Yeah. So perhaps those of you with felt or considering wearing felt next Christmas, good idea to cut some air vents, or is it just something that allows a little bit of air in there?
Yeah.
It's best for your health.
I think we call them speed holes in the business.
Yeah.
Always work well in cars too. I know Homer Simpson was a big fan of speed holes in his car. Some episodes there which we can talk about another time. But, yes, speed holes, very useful.
Hey, so your park run, yeah, obviously pace job, bit of a steady effort into a session Sunday.
Yes, session Sunday. That was really fun. I actually joined the Runners One crew in Adelaide. So they had like 100 people at their long run on the
Shit,
Sunday,
wow.
which was just absolutely crazy. And I was meant to have 25K at 15 seconds slower than ma goal marathon pace with a warm up and a cool down. But I ended up just doing it like a progression run. So I was trying to hang out with the people up the front who I have absolutely no business running with, but because because I was doing a session that worked out pretty well. And then it ended up, you know, it got rolling a little bit. So it was a nice progression, and I probably I think I checked, I averaged like 420 for the effort. So I was probably aiming for around 415, 417. But it was one of those things where I think the benefit from running with the group definitely outweighed doing the session exactly.
Can you remember the description of how you felt during that run? I believe it may have been a tad colourful.
I think I felt a bit shit. Did I feel
Yeah,
shit?
I believe you did.
Yeah. So it's actually funny. If I look, I can see it now. In my private notes, I've written, drank half a bottle of wine day
Oh.
before, and a lot
Messy.
of cheese. So, I mean, it's still a mystery to me why I was feeling shit,
Yeah, I don't
during
know
that run, but.
how. Cheese is a very valuable carb loader prior to a long run, but oh, does it with that shitty feeling, would that be like part of the festive season just being a bit run down, or are you putting it wholly and solely down to, I guess, embracing the full French cuisine and red wine and cheese?
Maybe it was just like feeling a bit tired from the start of the festivities. I mean, even just doing that 5K at 4 minute pace the day before, that wouldn't be usually something that I would do going into a long run. But yeah, the wine certainly doesn't help. I'm one of the suckers doing dry January now, so I think I'm paying my penance for a few wines over the Christmas season.
Is that just a code for your detox?
Yes.
The also like traveling, being around family, being with friends, I guess, yeah, social events, eating at different times, like routine's a big thing for marathoners. And I'm not sure how rigid are you with everything when you're back home? Like, are you running the same loop? Are you running at the same time? So when you're over in Adelaide, and you've got obviously you've got an opportunity to run with that run with one, and you've got it in a big group, and that's fun. But like, are you a bit out of, were you a little bit out of sync as well, like doing different things in different locations?
Yeah, probably that too. Actually, also Adelaide, I was running a lot on hard surfaces, lots of concrete, lots of tarmac, which does really make a difference. Because here in Torquay, I run on dirt most of the time, except long run, I'll try and do some bitumen because I'm trying to emulate the actual race. But yeah, I think that probably beat me up a bit. And also, I did try and run with as many friends as possible while I was in Adelaide. So I was kind of juggling things around just to get the benefit of the catch up and the social side of things. And that does muck things around a little bit. But I think the positive of that outweighs the muckiness probably. But yeah, it's a good point. I didn't really think about that.
Yeah, but it's also like it's Christmas, it's like family, you've got to enjoy life, and you can't just be in a bubble the whole time. Like, you have to kind of embrace it. And if it means that, yeah, a run is harder than it usually is, then yeah, I guess you just have to cop it, because everyone else is sort of in the same boat in a way. Yeah, just off the back of that, how did you go the next day? Because I'm just looking through your Strava, and did you get out on the Monday, Christmas morning? Yes, that was your park run as well.
That was the park run. So that usually Mondays are a rest day, but that park run was super, super chill. And it's more of a like family tradition now to run on park run with the dog, which is good fun.
Nice one. So, session wise for Christmas week, off the back of that, Boxing Day, you got out.
Yes, got out. I actually had my session on the Wednesday, which I think was the 27th. And I had 8 by 5 minutes with a 60-second jog between. And actually, another Adelaide runner, Mads Kelly, who I met at Melbourne Half last year, she was about a minute in front of me. She kindly said she'd jump in for the session, which is really great. And she pretty much towed me the whole time. I was like, Mads, do you want to swap? And she's like, no, I got you. I got you.
Wow.
And I was not
Can you
complaining.
bring her to
So,
Osaka?
yeah, I would love to. Mads, if you're listening, you got a ticket. It's a self-funded trip, though. Sorry. Yeah, so that was really good. She had clearance from her coach to do 6 reps, but she ended up doing 7. So I only had one by myself.
Was that a bit of
And I was,
negotiating on the
yeah.
sixth rep?
I think she got sucked in, you know, as you do. I'll just do one more sort of thing. So hope her coach wasn't too frosty. But I was happy with this session because so I averaged like 3:44s for the reps, which was promising because I'd done a 15 by 2 minute run like 2 weeks before that around that 3:44 sort of pace. And then I'd done 10 by 3 minutes last week at 3:42s. And so to be able to extend it out to 5 minute reps and also add 10 minutes, because this session was 40 minutes of volume, not 30. So I was pretty happy to be able to hold that pace and not feel too cooked at the end either.
A big workout, like 8 by 5 and 60 second recovery. Are you jogging or what are you doing in those 60 seconds?
Yeah, it was a jog. There were a couple of reps where I just like maybe walked for 20 seconds, 15 seconds, and then started jogging again. So I wasn't really too fussed how I took those recoveries, but just wanted to get ready for the next one because 60 seconds goes so quickly.
Yeah. How quickly does it go? Yeah. 5 minutes takes ages. Or, the
I
last
know.
60 seconds of a 5 minute rep, like, yeah, and then you get a recovery and it's like gone in 30 seconds. Like, it feels that way.
Exactly.
Your that pace. So where are we getting this pace from? Is this a half marathon effort or like where are we sort of landing on that? Has your coach put in a pace or does it what were you sort of given a range?
Yeah, I had a range. So it was meant to be around 6 to 10 seconds per K faster than half marathon effort or half marathon pace. And so I ran, I think it was like 3:54s or 3:53s end of last year. So I was pretty much right on 10 seconds faster. Yeah.
Elise, noticing obviously with your long run and keeping in mind, I know you just get your sessions the week of, but I'm noticing a bit of a trend where with the marathons, where it's like it's the same session almost, week to week, but just gradually increasing the loading, and you've gone from 10 by 3 minutes to 8 by 5. Do you foresee your 8 by 5 being fleshed out even further? Would that become a 8 by 6 or a 10 by 5, or this might be the, do you think you'll see this again in the block? What do you predict at this stage?
Yeah, I think they'll get a bit bigger. So I think I've done like 5 by 8 before, and 4 by 10, and 7 by 7, which is really hard.
Oh, jeez,
I don't know.
that's day off work material, that.
I
I
know. Yeah.
can't come in, guys. Obsession was too big.
Still out here.
But I think that is the logic though, Chris. Like it's, I don't think I'm gonna get much faster, but it's just extending the amount of time that I can run at that pace little by little.
The reason I
Yeah.
bring it up is that, there's no, so for anyone listening, is because between the three of us, we're all coaches, and there's no one size fits all, or you have to do it this way. I find this really intriguing because I guess as a coach and having worked with Andy through a marathon build, I'm used to seeing a variety of things where there's still that VO2 max and a bit of track stuff, and there's obviously thresholds and hills and all that, which I'm sure there'll be. But I just think it's fascinating seeing the long run. And I know we're gonna touch on your long run on New Year's Eve, because I like there's a bit of a redemption story about this one, which I won't spoil because it's your story. But I love seeing like the long run just gets a little bit longer and it just gets a little bit quicker. And these sessions, there's just a little bit more to them. And we're still working about that same effort, but we're just increasing the duration. So like it's not super technical stuff. It's just pushing you a little bit harder and a little bit further. And yeah, I think it's really cool. So I'm sitting here as a fan. Let alone someone who's meant to be asking questions and being insightful. So, yeah, no, I love this. It's good.
Elise, do these sessions make you nervous? Like, are you when you're warming up, you're warming up with your pacer to be in Osaka, Madeline? Are you guys chatting away, but in the back of your head, you're thinking, I've got 8x5, like this is gonna be a tough session, or are you completely relaxed?
Yeah, we were chatting away and it was all good. I think I was pretty relaxed. I was just like, oh, this is gonna hurt at some point. But then it's always the, yeah, this is gonna hurt, but also this is gonna make me better. So I have to do it. And then also trying not to get caught up in thinking about rep number seven when I'm in rep number two. Just like take one at a time and count upwards, not backwards.
Do you break it up within the rep? Like, do you look at the watch? Do you go, I'm going to run to 3 minutes, then I'll look at the watch, or what, look at it all? You just got the countdown going and it just goes off.
Yeah, sometimes I'll pick something in the distance and be like, okay, I'll look at the watch at that bin.
You cut a deal that you won't
Very
look at.
technical stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, it is interesting the mind games you play in these sessions. And, I guess getting towards a marathon when you do some of these longer workouts, and we'll get to the New Year's Eve one where, yeah, you probably had a different, over 5 minutes, you might not need to dig into those mind games as much. Whereas
Yeah.
those long reps, you might have to, get used to kind of, I don't know, finding a way to forget what you're doing and try and go zone out. But yeah, it is interesting. And that circuit, was it all, it's all road, I gather. You're on a
Yeah.
parkland circuit in Adelaide and you picked up the second fastest time on 2K road. So
Oh, great.
congratulations on that one.
Thank you. Thank you
Does
very much.
that mean that Mads got the fastest time?
I think it does. I think
Yeah.
she's the right person for the job in Osaka, to be honest.
Yeah. Take
Yeah.
that. Should we go? So that was on the Wednesday. Did we went back to the Casey the week before? Oh, so
Oh.
we're still in that week, can't we? Don't mind me.
Where are we going? Oh,
Between.
K's. Oh, mileage. So the 18th to 24th.
Yeah, just to get some context on the K's you'd done there.
Yeah, I did 101K for the week and two gym sessions. So two gym sessions, two run sessions, including the long run and the park run pacing job. So I'd wanted to add a double that week, but I had some awareness in my Tib post on the morning run that day, so I just decided not to do it. So the mileage kind of stayed pretty steady.
And it jumped up a little bit last week. So I noticed we're around 116 for the week just
Yeah.
gone.
Yeah, that's right. So,
Tip post all good.
all fine, all fine. I feel like at this point, after, a month of bigger weeks than I usually do, There's always something that's like feeling a bit weird or a bit strange or a bit potentially off. And then you have to make those calls as to whether it's something that could turn into something else or if it's nothing. And I find myself already making those decisions just during this week too. Like I would thought about doing a double yesterday, and then I was like, you know what? I'm not going to gain anything from that. I'm still recovering from the long run, probably. Like, what's the point? And I really think you need to listen to those voices in the marathon build because it can quickly unravel if you do a little bit too much. And I reckon I've probably touched the edge a little bit on that week between Christmas and New Year's Eve. With a couple of extra bike rides and, you know, incidentals in there. And so this week it's like, nope, I need to recover now.
Yeah. What about this long run? New Year's Eve. I've hyped it up a few minutes ago, but talk to us, mate. You're back on home soil for this
Back
one.
on home soil. Yep, back on
Almost
home soil.
bit of a later start as well. What do you normally?
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at that thing and oh, that's late.
Oh yeah, 9:29. Jeez, you
That's
were back on the wines the night before.
No, I was an absolute saint the day before, but we drove back from Adelaide the day before, so I was in a car for 8 hours. And never ideal to do a 34K long run the day after being in a car, but I
Many
was
stops did you
just.
have? Did you break? Because sitting, as runners, sitting down for that amount of time, obviously, did you have every couple of hours did you stretch the legs, or how'd you go about
Yeah, every 2 hours we'd just
it?
swap driving
Mm.
and have a little like stretch, toilet break, you know, get some lolly snakes or something and then pile back in. But yeah, the drive wasn't too bad and felt okay, but friends were meeting for a run at like 6:15 the next morning and I just thought, oh, I'd probably rather get a bit of extra sleep and then do this thing by myself, which I don't
Yeah.
know if that was a great idea, to be honest.
It's a tough decision sometimes. It's like if a group's going and it's early, but you're tired and you've got, do you go solo and it's harder solo, but then you get the extra sleep? Like, yeah, decision. And it looks like you made the right one here.
Yeah, trade-offs, but yeah, it actually went okay. I won't lie, I was absolutely dreading it when I got up. And I got up a bit earlier. I usually like try and get food in at least 90 minutes before so that it doesn't aggravate my stomach while running. So I was probably up at 7-ish and then
Just on
got
that,
some,
can you
yeah.
roll out of bed and start running, or like mobility wise, do you need time to walk around? Do you need to get on the roller? Do you need to activate before you actually get out the door? Or is it just more the food as well?
I do a bit of that while I'm digesting.
Yeah.
So I'll get the food and the coffee down and then, yeah, get on the foam roller. I sometimes use my massage gun for activations as well, which is actually really good. And then, yeah, a bit of light walking. Sometimes it works well to give the dog a spin around the block before the run, just to get everything moving a little bit. But yeah, that's usually the routine.
Earphones for this one, because you've seen your solo. Do you chuck a hype playlist in there, or are you going completely free, tech free?
I did have some music, yes. What did I have though? Oof. I think it was some like
A 2.5 hour
Nigerian.
playlist
Yeah, I know. It was some Nigerian like high life music. Just really like upbeat and fun
Yeah.
music
Okay,
just to get me out of
did
my
not predict you were
head.
gonna say that. Yeah.
Send you some West African playlists.
If you
What
do see
did you
police
predict
running
actually, Zaka?
in the back streets of the Serco Shire. And you're wondering what
Oh
that's like
yeah, I try.
too.
It's a fusion experience.
Very cool. So yeah, third, tell us about the session. So what was on the program from the coach?
Yeah. So the program was a 3K warm up, 28K at 10 seconds slower than goal marathon pace, and then 3K cool down. So I ended up averaging 4:10 for the 28K in the middle. And then I think, yeah, so it was 4:21 for the whole 34K, which I was happy with. And I kind of calculated goal marathon pace around 4 minute Ks, but it probably should be around like 4:02 or 4:03. And it's yet to be known whether that's way too hard for me yet, but that's what I've been playing with. And yeah, the first half of the session felt really comfortable and good. The second half started to struggle a bit, like mentally, but also I think my heart rate was definitely in a good spot. I had the heart rate strap on. So it was just my legs that just felt really banged up towards the end. So I had a couple of like 4:14s and things in there. And there was a bit of undulation too, but overall I was pretty happy to get that one on the books.
I suppose keeping in mind, like at 4:10 pace, that is slightly quicker than your current marathon PB. And you went into this with 80 Ks for the week already in your legs. So it's not as if you went in tapered and fresh and
Well, in
ready
eight
to
hour
go.
drive, you wouldn't go to a marathon after an 8 hour drive like the day before,
Yeah,
and off
true.
the back of Christmas week.
Yeah,
In
that's fair.
summer.
And like equally largest mileage week ever, too.
Yeah, what a way to finish the week. How did
Just really cap it off.
it, like, obviously fatigue by yourself, so mentally a challenge. I know you can have all the upbeat West African tunes you like, but I think grinding out 28 Ks at a marathon intensity, that's a big day on the tools. What were the feelings like when you finished? Like, was it relief? Was it exhaustion? Was it like, stuff this, give me some food. Like, what was the thought process once you were done?
I was pretty relieved. I also felt a sense of achievement because I reckon the last 7K or so, I was like, oh, this is crazy. Maybe I should just cap it at 20, you know. But then I always have those thoughts like, well, if I can't do this, then how am I gonna actually run at the pace I want to run the marathon at? Like, that's not gonna happen. So yeah, just had to put on my big girl pants and get it done. And yeah, so I was pretty relieved when it was over, to be honest.
You caught a few bugs as well.
I
The
did.
bug catcher out.
I think I'm like I don't know if I'm a heavy sweater, but I had all these salt crystals on my face at the end, and there was literally a bug that was trapped, maybe doing like a salt angel on my face.
He didn't put up a selfie afterwards.
No. I thought about it. There's actually so many gross things this week too. I went surfing this morning and lost a toenail that I've been trying to lose for a long time.
You're not a marathon unless you've got no bad toenails or no toenails.
Yeah, that's right.
What was the first drink of choice post long run?
Oh, yes. There's this
I'm
cafe in Torquay. Oh, is this the there's this cafe in Torquay, and they have this like it's a smoothie. It's called the pea pass, and it's got heaps of peanut butter, banana, almond milk, cocoa. And then I add some protein powder to it. It ends up costing like $15. It's absolutely definitely a post long run treat only. but I really love that. And if I can't get my hands on one of those, I'll go one of those like Musashi or a prepped like recovery drink or something like that. And then something cold as well, like a Powerade.
Good choice.
Perfect.
Hey, I just want to check on those roads. So are they, what sort of surface are they?
Yeah, it's a bit of a mix. So there's a little bit of tarmac and then there's a lot of dirt as well. So it's a bit of a combo.
And you're running on the road again, like against the traffic, I assume, or do you run with the
Yeah.
traffic? Yeah.
I kind of changed sometimes. But mostly against the traffic. And so these roads have been closed off for a while, so there's not many cars, which is really good. There are a few cyclists out, which is nice. Some of the stretches had a little bit of that corrugation, but it wasn't too difficult to run on. So it's actually a really good spot for it because it was pretty much a 14K as an out and back, and I just had to do that twice. So mentally really easy to break it down.
Yeah, it's interesting just going back to your thoughts where you're mid-session and you're sort of thinking, should I alter the session or could I just stop earlier? Like those thoughts in a marathon block can be, I guess early on can be dangerous because it sets a precedent that you can just start to just call it early. And there's certainly situations where it's the right call, where you do need to, but it's that judgment on the fly, getting used to, like, I guess knowing your body and those feelings of like, is this actually just me having to work through a tough patch or should I actually, am I carrying something here? Or am I going to make things, dig myself into a really, really big hole that I can't get out of and potentially miss days, then weeks? So I think everyone will have those thoughts at some point in these marathon block sessions and in a lot of sessions actually. But yeah, I guess going through that process is, it's all part of the training, I think. Mental training, I guess, is probably what you're doing there.
Yeah, for sure. And it's also knowing that it's not really a black and white decision either. It's not, do I keep going or do I stop? There could be many other options for you. Like maybe I back it off for a kilometer and see if I get through this rough patch, or yeah, just even try and run at a slightly slower pace for the rest of it, or whatever it is. It doesn't have to be, yeah, okay, I'm done. It's too hard.
When you're listening to the West African beats out in the back streets of Torquay, do you visualize being in Osaka around thousands of people on the road, or are you that doesn't even enter your mind, the marathon that you're training for?
Nah, it doesn't enter my mind. I think I'm just focused on the task at hand and getting through it and not inhaling too much dust if a ute speeds past me. All of those day-to-day realities of the session.
Yeah. And it's probably too far out to be in that headspace where you're starting to think, oh, I'm simulating the last 10K of this, Osaka. I think that could be exhausting if you're thinking about that so far out during
Yeah.
sessions. I think there's a time and a place for it, and maybe could be a bit of a danger if you're just constantly absorbed with this is what it's going to feel like at Osaka, or this is, I'm practicing for that day.
I did have that thought though. The this I was like, oh yeah, my legs feel really heavy now, but this is good. This is what it feels like at the end of the marathon sort of thing. So that can be helpful too.
Oh.
So coming off the line, your equal biggest week mileage wise, how have the energy levels bounced back in the early part of this week? Have you needed to be a little bit, without giving away what you've actually done, but have you been a bit conservative sort of Monday, Tuesday, just to, take care of yourself a bit more, or is it just business as usual, sort of just a regular Monday and Tuesday plus a surf today?
No, it's going to be a down week anyway, which is good. So I took the Monday I had the Monday fully off, except for a bit of gym, and I'm just not doing the like I won't do any doubles or anything this week. It's mostly easy jogging with a little tiny sharpener today. So, yeah, I'm actually feeling okay, which is
Yep.
good.
And the Sunday along would just be easy Ks, or will still be a bit of marathon specific work in it, do you think?
This Sunday is going to be easy. So I'm actually really
Oh.
looking forward to that.
I heard a bit of a spark in the voice there, Zachar. I don't know about you, if you picked that
Must be
up, but
warm.
then I
Nah,
sensed that.
must be some distance in it, I reckon. Like a 45K long run.
Yeah, it's a 45K easy pace.
Sounds delightful. How I know we don't want to try and jump into what you're doing, but how far do you have this Sunday? I'm curious.
Oh,
It's not
yes.
actually
So,
45K, is it?
no, it's actually 25.
Oh, it's
Yeah.
okay. Just
So,
25.
just 25. Yes, I am doing a cheeky track race the day before, so it's pretty much going to be 2 hours easy on
Hang
Sunday.
on,
It's a
this was a down
Geelong, isn't it?
week. We didn't hear about this race. This is the Surf Coast Track Classic.
Yeah.
Is this a down week
10K
or a
on the
taper
track.
week?
This is a taper week slash down week.
10K, yeah.
No, so
Right.
I'm doing the five. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
good. Yeah, nice. Good chance to get on the track and just blast one off of, a lot of strength work, but the wheels will be cranking around the track at Landy Field, isn't it? I think.
Landy Field. Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully. Yeah, when I told my coach about this one, his first reaction was like, oh, why are we doing this? This makes no sense.
Probably just good from a
And
like getting your head into a race again. Like that's
yeah,
sort of fun. Yeah.
he's actually come around. So yeah, he actually now thinks it's quite well timed because it'll make marathon pace feel much easier after doing this, which will be a benefit. And also I think we would have just kept training through without some jogging days and stuff until Saturday. So it's actually, I think, a well-timed little breather with a 5K, and then you recover pretty quickly from a 5K. So I don't feel like I'll lose anything next week either.
Nice one. We've got a couple of listener questions we might throw at you, Elise.
Yeah.
You're up for them? Okay. Do you want to go to the first one, Chriso, from Jonesy at Jonesy?
God. Jonesy, these guys need to work on their handles. They're not super imaginative with their Insta handles, but kudos for sending the questions through. Elise, do you practice taking gels in long runs and sessions? If so, what are your go-to gels at the moment? Do you have any favorite brands or flavors? From
Yes,
Jonesy.
I. Oh, thanks. Hi, Jonesy. Nice to meet you. Yeah, I do. I definitely practice with gels. At the moment, I've been having like a Morton 320 mix. So I'll do a drink mix for the first hour. So I'll just have that's like 80 grams of carbs, and then it makes sure I get some fluids down, and I'm kind of thinking maybe I'll carry like two small bottles at the start of the marathon, just to get in some easy, quick carbs. And then after that, I take on gels, which I carry. And that'll be like Morton as well. So they're 25 grams of carbs, and I'll have one of those every 30 minutes, pretty much. And I'm a bit low on gel stocks at the moment. So I've been kind of squirreling whatever I could find in the pantry. But I've got like some Coda ones in there, these SIS Beta Fuel ones. And I'm kind of keen to try the Precision hydration ones because people seem to be, and the pure ones, people seem to be talking about those. So yeah, if you've got any recommendations, let me know. How do you go
So,
about carrying them?
So you've got like you're going to carry bottles in the race, but do you put gels or like bottles out when you do a long run, or are you just carrying all these gels with you?
so usually if there is an out and back section or if it's a loop, I'll just like put some on the bonnet of my car and then pick them up halfway. So that's what I did on Sunday. I had like another drink on the car and I took that halfway. But yeah, otherwise if it's just gels, the running shorts now are really good and they've got heaps of pockets, so I just like shove them in my pockets and it's not really a problem.
I think gone are the days, like it was always a hunt to find shorts that could hold enough gels, but I think now the companies have cottoned on that they actually need to give you a bit more real estate to work with on the shorts, so that helps. Hey, you got another one that's I guess food related. It's from at Micho81. Do you take any supplements? And you've got magnesium, question mark, multivitamins.
Yes, magnesium I do take, but again, I'm out of that. Pantry's a bit bare at the moment.
Any particular brand of
Yeah, you
magnesium?
need to plug them so they might
Do
be
you need
listening. I
some
can send you some more.
product placement? Yeah, the Pillar Performance magnesium. I like the powder is really good. So
Pineapple, like the pineapple and coconut, or more the raspberry?
I'm more a berry kind of girl, I think.
See that,
Yeah.
and that's fine. I think they're both great, but who could resist the pina colada post long run?
Yeah, you make a good point. You look quite offended when I pick Barry, actually.
I was shocked, not offended.
Yeah.
Like I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed. No, I just thought most of the people, and everyone's different, but most of the people I talk to, they rave about the pineapple and the coconut, and I don't mind the berry. It's a subtle flavor, but just typically find the pineapple and coconut a bit more refreshing. I actually like, I mean, this isn't about me, but I love the magnesium tablets about half an hour, 40 minutes before bed, and just find that helps me sleep really well. Well, sorry, I shouldn't say really well because I don't think I sleep
I'm
brilliantly,
just
but
imagining you like
sleeps
cranking
better.
out the cocktail shaker, Chriso, like Tom Cruise. It's come cocktail making up these pillar
Pillar.
shakes before you go to bed.
Mate, just skipping around doing drills in a white half done up button up shirt, tidy shorts, Tom Cruise style, jumping on
Songs. I think you
tables.
mixed two different movies there, Chris.
Knee-high socks, mate. It's a Tom Cruise mega fest. Gonna like fly a plane, drive my NASCAR. No, give me another 5 minutes. I could work in some more Tom Cruise references.
Yeah.
A few
Is
good
it
men.
nearly 9? Do you reckon,
It's
does that
eight.
happen after 9 as
It's
well?
eight
Still lines, I
twenty.
think.
Yeah, well, it is 8:22, and I have eaten two of my three magnesium tablets. So,
Yeah. Ooh.
drowsiness
About to get
hasn't.
loose.
It's a little bit
Yeah.
earlier than planned, but
Doesn't Tom Cruise wear like the high the shoes to make him taller? Maybe you could just wear your Alpha Flies.
Well, he interesting stat on Tom Cruise, and thanks for joining us for the Tom Cruise podcast. He runs in every single one of his movies that he's ever made. There is a scene of him running or sprinting in all of them. So,
Oh, what's his form like? Yeah.
he's a bit tense in the face,
He's
so he looks like he's straining.
always running from something that's pretty stressful. It's not like it's
Wow,
going.
it's literally a life-threatening situation in everything that he does. So there was a thing I saw the other day. One of the stunts that he did, I think it was for Mission Impossible, he drove a motorbike off a cliff 6 times in one day just so they could get the right shot. And he does all his own stunts. He's an absolute psychopath. And I don't mean that in an endearing term. Like he is, I think he's a genuine psychopath. So, anyway, Elise, we were talking about your magnesium. Sorry about that rabbit hole.
No,
No,
I thoroughly enjoyed that.
yeah.
Yes. So yes to magnesium.
Very
No other
flavored.
multi. Yeah, berry. No other multivitamins. I just generally like trying to, I keep it simple in that I just try and put lots of colors on my plate with meals, except like before a marathon when everything's beige. And what else? I guess recovery drinks, that'd be the other thing. And that would be like a protein carb drink after sessions and long runs.
What about
But
iron?
yeah.
Any iron supplements or any iron tablets?
No, but I do have leaky iron, and I have had an infusion in the past, so I actually might get a blood test done. I'm probably due for a little checkup to see how those are going. I don't seem to absorb the iron tablets very well, and I eat meat, but yeah, I it yeah, I'm a leaking bucket of iron.
Chris, so should we leave the next one, leave it for next week?
Yeah.
Or the next one? Next episode. The couple of last ones from us before we let you go. What do we have down here, Chris? So, well, you've talked about a race you've locked in this weekend, but how about over the next, what are we, we're 6 weeks out. Are you going to get a half in before that? You're going to get a 10K in a road race, or given this time of the year, it's probably a bit hard to lock anything down before end of Feb.
Yeah, no races, just this one this weekend. And I'm actually really enjoying just training this time and keeping it a bit simpler. So yeah, nothing planned. It'll all be a big surprise on the day.
Are you the last one I want to finish on? We're 7 weeks out on Sunday, and admittedly, that's going to be a 2 hour jog. But your race shoes, do you know what they are? Have they even been released yet? I mean, the Alphafly 3 isn't too far away. Are you tempted to get your hands on a pair of those and see how they
Think they
go?
drop tomorrow, the Alphafly.
Or,
Oh, really? I'm so tempted. I've heard lots of good things about those shoes. So
YouTube
it's a
tells me
question.
that they're going to be amazing because the people that have been sent them by Nike say they're all going to be the best shoes they've ever
Yeah.
released, which gets me really hyped. But then I remember that Nike has sent them to them. So I actually just want
Yeah.
some genuine feedback from
I
someone
don't
who's
think
able to.
anyone's been since come out and said they're shit.
No, I don't. And look, you'd never expect them to be, but I always do hear that when people go, now, just a quick disclaimer, Nike did send me these shoes, but they haven't paid me, so I can say what I want. They're the greatest shoes I've ever put on them. I'm like, yeah, okay, mate, you know you're not getting free shoes if you can them ever again, and you love your free shoes. So it's kind of, anyway. But Alphafly 3, is that a chance to be on the feet when you go to Osaka?
Yeah, if I can get a pair, I would love to. I would love to, but I'd love to get them early enough to be able to practice in them a little bit. And if not, I think it'll be the Alpha 2s. And I haven't worn them since Gold Coast. So I need to start practicing my sessions, long run sessions in those. But I was kind
But
of
they
waiting till I got closer to marathon pace. So it gives me a bit of a boost.
had you worn them before Gold Coast?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
okay.
practiced
How many Ks would they
marathon
have been?
pace
Like under 100?
before
Well,
or
now.
now.
Yeah, so you got a marathon and then you did a few workouts. So, yeah, would there be? They're
They might be
obviously.
just over 100.
Yeah, well, that's still definitely good to go.
Yeah.
Nice. I think that's a good choice.
Yeah, I reckon so.
I think that's it, Chriso. I think we've dissected enough of your training
I'm
at least.
impressed that we turned a 20-minute catch up into an hour.
I was joking about the padding. I don't know if there's anyone still with us.
No, they were they notice that we get into the last parts of the podcast that there's some people that actually fast forward to the last 15 minutes. just to hear how bad it got, and then they go back to the start to see how it actually got to that point. So no,
Mostly
I
just
think
you've gone off to watch Tom Cruise, watch a Tom Cruise marathon after
mate,
your plugs. So.
JB Hi-Fi, if they've got a sale on, they're going to make hundreds of dollars over the next few days.
Yeah. Well, Elise, we'll be back in a couple of weeks and you'll have had the 5K track race. I reckon there will be a meaty session off the back that following week, maybe on that weekend, that following weekend. So yeah, it's going to be exciting to hear, and we'll be what? Well, gosh, we'll be less than 5 weeks away from your from the
Oh,
marathon. So
yeah.
be exciting times.
Scary. But yes, thank you. Always an absolute joy to talk to both of you. And I can't believe you listened to my shit on this thing.
No, we we can't believe we've got someone who's agreed to come on and speak to us on a regular basis, because how you put up with us. And I mean, yeah, I mean, what I probably one question that we'll park for next week is, do you have a favorite Tom Cruise movie? So
Oh.
there's something to think about.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Maybe you can watch
I
one and give
will.
us a review next
Yeah,
week.
maybe watch one, give us a review. A Few Good Men, you know, Days of Thunder. There's some good ones out there.
Gonna say Top Gun 2.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay.
That was really good.
With Maverick.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll think on it and I'll
Yeah.
come
Think on
back
it.
next time.
And
Yeah.
listeners can check your progress on Strava. They can just type in Elise Beacom and you'll pop up. And I think you've, geez, you have tens of thousands of followers on there. You've got
Oh,
amassing
come on.
a number of people
You
getting
are the
behind you. You've
biggest
got some quirky.
exaggerator ever, Zacha.
Almost at influencer status. Yeah.
Oh, come on. You
Might see that bio being edited through the week with some app brands being plugged in there, a few discount codes.
Pillar Performance, you use code Elise for 15% off.
yeah. Well, if Pill is listening right now, I could use some magnesium berry powder.
What's that? Oh, what about the smoothie place in Torquay?
Oh,
Yeah.
true. Yeah. Or the bowls club, local bowls club.
Yeah. Well, the West African band that you listen
Yeah,
to.
like if I think even just like a top three playlist, because you know a lot of people would be very new to the West African music scene. So even
Yeah,
if
some
it's just like
recommendations would be good.
a few recommendations just for those people looking to upskill their music genre. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I can send some of those through.
Yes, we'd
Keep an
like
eye
that.
on the Strava,
On
perhaps
the
for the
social.
notes.
Yeah.
Love your work. We'll chat in a few weeks and enjoy your track race.
Oh, thanks so much.
See ya.
See you guys. Bye.
Yeah. It's getting exciting hearing Elise do some of those big meaty workouts, and now knowing that 2 weeks' time we'll catch up, we'll have that race, be another couple of weeks in the legs. It's going to be right in the thick of things when we chat for episode 3 of our little mini series, mate.
Yeah, just that chunky part of the block where the long runs are really genuinely long, and there's a bit of intent about them as well. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, as I said during the interview, I'm sitting here as a fan listening. I can't wait 2 weeks. I'm gonna have to jump on Strava and see what's going on. So, no, look,
Well, we
she's.
know that marathon builds can be a little bit dramatic at times. Like you can be going well, you can feel amazing, and then one day you don't feel good, or you have to take a day off because you've got a niggle, and that niggle, these things can happen. So we don't know, and we're touching all the wood around here that that doesn't happen. You just don't know with these build-ups, and when you put it all out there, and you're vulnerable, and you put yourself, you're going through your sessions, and everything's on Strava and people are watching you, and you've got your own pressure. But yeah, it's a lot. And we appreciate Elise doing this, because it's not easy to jump on here and talk about your own training and putting your goals out there, and yeah, putting yourself out there.
No, and she's been very generous with her time as well. We did joke about it, but originally it was just going to be 20 to 30 minutes and let it go. Because hey, everyone's got a lot of things to do, but very grateful that I get to spend the best part of an hour with Elise and hearing about the all the good parts and the less glamorous parts of marathon training, which I know a lot of our listeners are familiar with. But yeah, like her perspective's been great so far, and I'm looking forward to what essentially is the next 2 months of catch-ups that we have ahead as we lead into Osaka.
Yes, mate, onto your training.
Yeah, my training pales into insignificance because I'm not on the road to Osaka. I'm on the road to Box Hill, and I don't that literally no one.
You're
There's
on the
not
road.
there's no mini series that's worth anything. We don't even discuss that here at home, let alone anywhere else. But no, my training in a nutshell, happy with the week. So 90Ks, which I think is the second biggest week, maybe the second or third biggest week I had for the year.
Yeah,
Session was a
great.
new one. Session was a new one. I haven't done this before, and it's probably the first time in a long time where I've looked at it and went, "Oh, I'm not sure how my body will respond." So this had some quicker work in it, including a few bits and pieces at 1500 meter effort, which might as well just be called a stride for me, because what being able to tap into that, I just associate that with pain. Really, and just burning. But what we had, so three sets of 1200 at threshy effort with a minute jog recovery. That minute went fast. 700 meters at 3K effort with a 2 minute jog. And that was then into 300 meters at 1500 effort with a 400 jog recovery and then starting again. So back into the threshy.
Do you reckon Andy set this? I mean, this is with the 5K or 3K, 5K in mind. Get wheels going at the back end. Get down that 300 meters off a bit in the legs after a 1200 into a 700. Was this set usually for a track workout? Do you think with
This,
those?
yeah, like ideally this would have been done on a track, but I don't have that luxury.
Oh, you don't have a tracking shepherd.
No, not an accessible one, sadly. As yet,
I
but
won't for
we're
you.
working on that. We're working on that. It's new year, new goals. Potentially, I may get a key. I just have to pony up the cash to get one of those. But anywho, I think the idea of this one was to build a bit of fatigue and then go and find me some gears. Like get uncomfortable or try and get comfortable being uncomfortable. We talk about that in a marathon sense, but in the shorter distances, this got uncomfortable very quickly. It was pretty warm. I was coming off a couple of sleeps that were less than my best. And stupidly, I wouldn't say stupidly, I went to the gym on Tuesday and went pretty heavy on your legs, thinking that, yeah, I'll absorb that by Thursday. Well, I didn't. So I paid the penalty for that a little bit. I was really happy with my ability to change gears still. So threshy efforts were around low 340s, 700s at 3K were in the low 320s, and the 300s were around that sort of 310, tick under. And it's pretty short rep, so take that with a grain of salt. But I was happy that it were three discernible different efforts. The jogs were a genuine jog recovery, so I had a bit of fear that probably after that second threshold, I wouldn't be able to kick down. Like, I just wouldn't, I'd progressively get slower through my reps, but they all tended to be pretty consistent. We kept the jogs. The shorter jogs were around 450. And I think part of that was the shorter time just meant that I had a bit of deceleration time, a little bit of time to relax. And then as soon as the watch beeps, off we go again. The longer recoveries were closer to 510, and they genuinely felt slow. And I needed that time to let the body recover. But I'd love to give it another go, just with a little bit more pop in the legs to see if I can keep the recoveries the same. Do I have a little bit more pace in the legs, or is that kind of where I'm at? I don't know, but
On that recovery, you really do need to respect that 300s need to be quality. So it's good to have that real recovery into those jogs need to be easy. And I think you've hit it really well. Like, yes. Whew. 322s, like 321, 317, 322, like you're pretty consistent in there in those 700s. And that's probably which is, when you're cycling back through that workout, things could probably go off the rails in those 700s.
Yeah, I looked at the 700s and went, you're going to do, 700s. Wow, that's close to a K. And you're going to do three of those, a 3K effort. Shit, that's going to be hard. So, I mean, for me, I was thinking that this was going to be a max effort session. So, if I had any delusions of grandeur about trying to float these recoveries, then I needed to kick myself in the ass. But thankfully took it pretty easy. I think like by the end of the session, I'd covered the best part of well, nearly 10K. So if I bring it back up here and we have a quick little sneak peek, just as a reminder for myself, across the session, so 9.6K, a tick over 38 minutes, average 3:59 for the session. So on the surface, you're looking at that going, well, that's around, I don't know, marathon effort or marathon pace for a bit under 10 Ks. It probably doesn't look that solid on paper, but when you, for me anyway, reaching down into that sort of effort level, particularly in the 300s, that was hard. That's physically uncomfortable. And yeah, like I think,
Intensity is there.
yeah, and it's probably evidenced a bit in the recovery jog that I went and did the next day as well. So normally I'd recover, do a recovery run anywhere like 4:55 to 5:05s, and that averaged 5:16 on the Friday.
Which is what you'd feel like, off the back of a very hard session, semi-race sort of feel.
Oh, and to that felt trash. I got to the end of that, went inside, went, oh, thank God, that's over. That just was not
But you need
an it.
that sometimes, don't you? Like those sessions where you don't do those really hard workouts every week, but
No.
it looks like he's brought you up to another level in this week doing that one.
Yeah. Well, when I look at it across the week, so let's have a look here. Across the week. So lots of easy Ks. That's nothing unusual for me. I'm doing a second set of strides in the week. So I only really do one session, but we've got an easy run in there where if it's a 6K run, I'll go and do 3K easy, do a set of strides, and then finish off 3K. So it's almost warm up strides, cool down. Wednesday just gone. It was a let well, end up being between 10 and 12K, ran 11 and a bit, but same thing. 3K easy, go and do your strides and then finish it off. Did that the day before the session, and I guess I was hoping that would flush some of the soreness out from the gym. It did not. But we've got two sets of strides, we've got a good quality session, we've got a 2 hour long run, 90 Ks for the week. I'm fatigued, looking forward to giving a session a go tomorrow. But yeah, I think we generally are getting somewhere. Now that could come and bite me in the ass when I get around to race time, and maybe I don't do squat, but I like where we're heading at the moment. I think, I mean, not that you really are thinking about peaking in the last week of December, but it's nice to know that I'm niggle free at the moment and I'm running the highest mileage on a continual basis since I ran a marathon properly in 2017. So, pretty happy. I can't argue with it. I'm in one piece. That's a big enough win in itself, I think.
When's the frenzy? Okay.
Feb 9.
Do
Yeah, so got a bit of
I have
time.
anything before then?
Don't know. Not at this
Probably
stage.
need it, do you? So, you're going to be end of Jan this week. You have 3 weeks probably up and then a bit of a lighter week into that frenzy.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. So what Andy typically does before we have it, like a race that we target, is about 3 weeks out. Before, like, so yeah, 3 weeks out before we start the taper, we will have a recovery week. So the body gets a chance to absorb, and that we're not just relying wholly and solely on the taper to absorb everything that we've done. So we usually do have a bit of a down week. So looking at like not it's a 6 week gap since in between races, but I think just having that down week in there, which I'm thinking will probably maybe be the week before Australia Day. So in a fortnight, I reckon I might see a recovery week or even the week after. And then that gives 4 days. Well, yes, yeah, the best part of 13 days to lead into the frenzy. So
Just a bit of a tune up after that, and then hit the
then
ground
hit
running.
yeah and then hit Box Hill. So, well, obviously a lot will depend on how the frenzy goes as well, but yeah, I was listening to Elise talk about Geelong, go, oh, that'd be fun, but I also
Yeah.
know I can't, those legs are way too heavy to go
Yeah.
and knock out a quality 5 or a 10,
Just
because
an
I think,
impromptu 5K this Friday, this Saturday.
yeah, like if you were going to get in the car and do a 6 hour round trip, you'd want to make it worth your while. And I don't think really driving down there with heavy legs with no taper is really going to serve a lot of purpose.
Yeah.
Particularly, driving home, thinking, long way off, long way off what you want to run. Was that really worth it? So,
No,
no.
I think you're in the right trajectory at the moment, and ticking all the boxes. How are you fatigue wise? Like 90K week, you're working still, working through the break. You had a lot of social stuff through Christmas. How are you holding up? Fatigue and
Not too bad. I'm trying to be a little bit more sensible with my gym work so that I'm walking out of there feeling good, not destroyed. I'm also trying to have a myotherapy appointment on a fortnightly basis as well. I think in years gone by, I've been a little bit reactive to niggles, whereas I really, and look, I'm 41. I'm realizing that I've got to be on the front foot and I've got to do that. It's almost prehab work just to try and keep things away. So the two trips to the gym and the Pilates class and the recurring myotherapy appointment is all just as valuable for me as the running that I do. So yeah, it's all part of the puzzle. I think it's amazing. I was having this conversation the other day. When you're in that, I guess, 22 to 28 window, you just think you're bulletproof. You don't sleep, don't need that, don't have to eat properly, I don't have to hydrate, I can do what I want, I'm bulletproof. Well, that goes out the window, and all of a sudden you become fascinated in drills and having multiple pairs of shoes and, actually going to the gym and doing proper strength work, because if you don't, then that money you'd be spending on shoes is being spent on physio appointments to get guided strength exercises for Achilles tendinopathy and hamstring tendinopathy, and they're things that I don't really want to spend money on. So hey, spending them on a gym membership and Pilates classes, which I'm really enjoying the time at the gym. It was something that initially I hated, but I've grown to love it. And Pilates is one of the best things I've ever gotten to the routine of doing. I think anyone
Well,
that's.
speaks to your consistency, and like if you look at your we talk about it most weeks about the Great Wall of Chris O'Strava, the Great Orange Wall, year in, year out, you're consistently knocking out those weeks and on the park and giving yourself the opportunity to run PBs and be out there, which I think, a big part of that is your consistent your dedication to off the track work, I think, which a lot of us probably understate. Me absolutely included until I'm starting to reap the benefits of it now.
Yeah, and I think initially it was I was doing it out of fear. I've got to do this or I'm not going to be able to run. Whereas now I've really found the enjoyment with it. But I mean, Pilates was never something it's never been a chore. It's always a challenge, and I enjoy that because it's a guided class. I don't have to think. Every week's different. There's good music. It's awesome fun. And the reformers, an interesting piece of machinery to learn how to use. I think when I first walked in there, I didn't know one end from the other. I nearly walked back out because I'm like, holy shit, where am I? What the hell's going on here? But it was the gym that I hated early on, because I just used to look at it and think, oh, I don't want to throw weights around. I don't even know what to do. And there's no one here to really tell me what to do. So that's taken a bit more to get used to. But yeah, hopefully it pays off. And if for nothing else, I mean, I might never run a PB again, or I might not necessarily run the times that I would like to. But I'll tell you what, if it helps me get out there every week and I'm able to run and have fun, and I can do my cross-country events, and I can run a few times a week with Anna and, talk some nonsense and just, enjoy life, then hey, it's worth the sacrifice, isn't it?
100%. Like yeah, it's a lifestyle choice. You know, you've made a really conscious effort to prioritize these things, and it's coming off, and you're also just enjoying the running, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's pretty inspirational, mate.
Look, I think the alternative is, I mean, from firsthand experience, and being injured sucks. Like it literally does, because all you want to do is catch up with your mates. And what's the best way to catch up with your mates? On a run. I mean, having a coffee or going out for dinner, that's playing golf, that's also fun, but ultimately, the best part is it's going on a long run and having a look around and seeing stuff and catching up on the week and all that sort of thing. So, yeah, I think,
Yeah, and being in the game's good. Like, I think both of us like having, yeah, just having an opportunity to get better with our running.
yeah, or
Doesn't
even.
necessarily mean we're going to run PBs, but we're giving ourselves a chance to improve and get a little bit better. And if it means that, you know, we go from running X time in a session that we bring it down 5 seconds a K in 6 months, then that's fine.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's the progress we hope. And I think we both know the value of like how long it can take as well. You know, I've had athletes come back from injuries, and then, you know, they really want to get down to these set time goals, and they said it's like, well, let's just get back to getting on the park and getting the Ks in, and not so focus on the time. Like, I'm not looking at times now. Like, I just want to get consistent with week in, week out. Okay, can I get two sessions in? Can a session feel a bit better? Can the two sessions feel a little bit better? Can I get my long run to a, you know, a few minutes out each couple of weeks? Can I feel better in the long run, in the recovery runs? Can I get into the gym and feel a bit stronger? Like those sort of things. And the times organically will come down, but it's, I think for, and we're probably in that, in a similar boat in that, you know, whilst we want those PBs and we know what they are, we kind of can just focus on the act of training and
Oh,
enjoying that.
100%. You know, have a look at your week just gone, man. We talk about the times getting quicker. Look at your 12-6-6 session. Once again, like those reps, they're getting faster. They're getting longer and they're getting faster.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I've actually, this has been a good experience for me, as I've probably had this up and down for, you know, 2023, where I got rolling and then got injured, and then I'd had a mini comeback and then got injured, and now committed to probably a rehab strength program, few changes to that initially probably weren't feeling like I was getting anywhere, but I was still doing them, and I guess I got very small improvements. You know, it might have just been like, oh, it didn't hurt for the whole 50 minutes, it hurt for 45 minutes for a run. And then, you know, 2 weeks later it was a little bit less pain. And then being able to start sessions again and run, just, you know, finish them. And yeah, the paces were completely different to what I'm used to, but I was actually getting to sessions. So yeah, it's been a real eye-opener for me coming back, and even doing sessions like this where, you know, 3 months ago, you know, go and do 3 by 8 minutes and wanting getting down to 320, mid 320s again, it felt like a long way off, because, you know, I was looking at 350s or 4 minute Ks. So it has been a good process in just like accepting that there isn't any real definitive timeline on these things. When you're coming back, it can take a little bit longer than you expect, and that's okay. Like, you know, and I've actually enjoyed trying to get back is probably what is the key, rather than trying to force it back.
And just how, like, that persistence, and when you do get there or you do have that little breakthrough, how satisfying is it?
Yeah, it is. Like I remember I've chatted to Gemma and Mattress. We have a chat group that's pretty active around our own training. And we're often, for the last 6 months we've really just been me and Matt just fanboying over Gemma's sessions and how she's been rolling and just like looking at the paces. And Gemma's always been, to her credit, like amazing, because she sort of said, oh, you're going all right, it'll click soon, and don't worry, like, because I'm looking at the paces and we're just sort of having a bit of a laugh, me and Mattress, about hey, I'm just rolling these, compared to Gemma or compared to where I used to be. But Gemma has been really good in the sense that she's just like, yeah, just don't worry, it's going to click soon and you'll get one of those sessions, because you are knocking out the weeks. And I suppose the Saturday workout was a bit like that, was a bit of a turning point, because whilst I had that progression run and it felt good on Boxing Day, I thought, yeah, I had an inkling that things, like the back end of that, where I was getting under that, into the 3:30s, off running 30 minutes beforehand, is starting to feel like I've got a bit of strength again. And that was the I guess reasoning around that 12 minute, 6 minute, 6 minute on the Saturday. It was like, do 12 minutes at sort of thresholdy effort. But then the sixes, like progressing, work them down. So, the six was going to be, so the session was 12 minutes, six, six, with a 3 minute after the 12, and then two, 90 second between the sixes. And it was going to be 3:40s for like 3:45s for the 12s. I think we were hitting around 3:42s, and it felt pretty controlled. Like I was a little bit tired. I thought, midway through the 12, I was like, yeah, maybe, the week of Christmas has caught up with me. Maybe there's a little bit in the legs from, you have those little bit of a doubt. But then I knew that like the sixes were going to be at 3:30s to 3:35 was the plan, and then 3:30 was the plan for the six. And we got into 3:30s at the start of the six, and I actually felt better. Like I felt better form running at the 3:30s. It was like I switched on, and yeah, off at 12, like holding it for six. And yeah, Elle was on the bike. I had Dave P, and we were working like really well together, knowing that the last rep, I thought, yeah, I can push it along a little bit here without absolutely burying myself. But again, I felt smoother as the session went on. And yeah, 3:25-ish for the, I think it was a 3:22 maybe in the last K, 3:25. And yeah, just to get back to that pace and feel good across the ground is probably the big thing. That was the, like, earlier, 6, 8 weeks ago, even 3 or 4 weeks ago, hitting 3:40s, I didn't feel comfortable. Didn't really feel great at that pace. Like I still felt a bit of discomfort and just didn't feel my usual form. Whereas this felt like, a lot more like I had my running form back. So we'll take it, Chriso.
And say, how good's that? Just to be able to lean on the power just a little bit, just to give it a little nudge, but still feel well in control. And like you're actually form's good and recovering the ground well. And you're not constantly checking your watch in that last 6 minute period to see how long there is to go. And just some really good signs of strength and fitness coming to the fore, especially as the weather starts to warm up as well. Because I think if the strength or the fitness isn't quite there, the weather itself knocks us around a lot anyway. So for you to complete a session like that, and you're almost out looking for the work now, I reckon, which
Yeah, I'm
is
actually enjoying and looking. Look, you're right. Like, probably a little while ago, the sessions were more of a were a grind, and I was like, yeah, I let me get one in, and then now it's like I can handle the load of two workouts, and I can really get after one in there, and the second one is, the first one I'm getting through, and the second one's coming out good, and each time, each week, they're getting closer to sort of matching up. So yeah, and it's, I think some of the work I've done with Dane with form drills, whilst it's very in its infancy. There's still more that I can build on. I'm actually excited to keep building on that. Like, over the Christmas period, I probably haven't done as much. There's still been ticking it over, still been in the gym. But, if we look through Jan, Feb, if I can really get on top of that, as well as building into those, 74K week, I think I'll be back to a normal routine from, next week, back to work, back to, I think this time of the year, it's whilst you got more time to train, you're also doing a lot more social activity. So you're kind of, the schedule gets thrown out a little bit. Your usual running group, like I'm running with different people at different times. Once I get back into that routine, I should be back to, I'll be hitting the 80 to 90K weeks, probably sit at 90K to 100 by, another 6 weeks. And then, if I throw all that it together, should be in a good position. And yeah, touch wood, everything holds up, but doing more and the body's holding up better. So that's probably the overall biggest positive.
Oh, we look at that, and I think even I know you've missed a couple of runs, but that's more so through, hailstorms, thunderstorms. Like, it's actually dangerous to be outside. It hasn't been because the motivation was a bit low or you're carrying a niggle. Like, so in essence, whilst it's a bit shitty to like, oh bloody hell, if I go outside, I could die. It's almost acted as a bit of extended recovery for you as well.
Yeah.
So I'm
Well, that was
really.
yesterday. Yeah. So Tuesday, we're recording Wednesday. So it was a strange day to have off because you've got like, I had this big Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I was tired, got through the Monday run. But yeah, yesterday, and I know you, I mean, I'm down in Melbourne. We didn't cop it nearly as bad as what you got and what rest of, gosh, a real. Heart goes out to people in Southeast Queensland and other areas of Australia that have really copped it, because me just missing a run because of a bit of hail and thunder is quite a very small, not even an issue, really. It's just, I just didn't want to go out and do that. But yeah, having the Tuesday off, yeah, it was a bit of a change up, but I'll do a workout on Thursday. I know, Chris, so did you get, I know you sent that image through. What happened in your street?
So I left work at around 5 o'clock. It was pretty dark and we'd had some rain by then, but it just absolutely tumbled out of the sky for the next hour and a half. So in the space of 90 minutes, we received around 3 inches of rain. It's just an absolute shitload of thunder and lightning, and yeah, as a consequence, had to call Shepherd and Runners Club training off, which, I mean, if I wouldn't run in it, there's no way I'm going to ask other people to run in it. And got in the car and started to make my way home. And it was pounding with rain. It was a very slow drive, water all over the road. And as we got to our home, just the sheer volume of rain, the gutters couldn't handle it. And all the wood chips in our garden and pretty much everyone else's garden in our area had flowed into the road and clogged the drain with all the. Like, it was only Christmas Eve where we had another thunderstorm, and there was a lot of tree and I guess garden debris which had come out from that. So yeah, poor old council have copped an absolute hiding over the Christmas season because they've been out and doing a great job, admittedly, like very short staff because everyone's on holidays, but doing a great job getting out early on the roads and clearing up all the debris and just trying to make it safe for the community again. So, but yeah, there was. Oh, look, water came halfway up our driveway. And because of the wind, when it first started to hit, it sort of poured in under the front door. And Norsey was very quick to get a few towels out and soak that up. But yeah, look, once the real heavy stuff stopped, the drains got a little bit of respite and the water went away. And even I went for a run this morning and the roads were bone dry. So yeah, we weren't really, I guess, at risk of being flooded, but there's shit everywhere. There's a lot of debris and it's a bit unsightly at the moment. But look, honestly, by the weekend and knowing how hard council work, that'll all get picked up. There's a bit of our front garden, which I'm a bit devo about. Once again, first world problem. There's absolutely no need to donate or feel sorry. I'm fine. Oh God. But Yeah, the old garden's a bit of a mess, so that'll be
Yeah.
Saturday's job. We'll rip into that and tidy that up. But really, I mean, in the scheme of things, other than my wood chips being displaced and what seems to be every frog in the community moving into our backyard, really, things are pretty good. So we've seen some of the devastation that's happened in Queensland. With the tropical storms that they've had, and it really pales into insignificance. Yeah, we've had a lot of rain, but yeah, as I said, roads were dry. Probably the biggest problem in our house is the cat can't figure out why it's bone dry and steamy inside, and he can't go outside and use the garden to go toilet. So, yeah, he'll slowly come to understand that it hasn't been safe. But anyway, we're pretty lucky.
Yeah, you know, our thoughts are with those affected out there, 'cause it's a tough time. Mate, it's been a big show.
It has.
Us, I don't think we've got any Canadian news. I've got a trivia one. I've got a question for you, mate. Out of Tom Cruise's 52 movies, how many has he run in?
I reckon it's 52. I'm gonna go out on a limb. I'm adamant that it's 52. Like, unless there's a movie where he's playing a corpse, but even then he'd write in somewhere that he gets to go and chase something as a ghost or that
44, 44 out of
44.
52.
That's a pretty high strike rate. Like, look, that might as well be 100%. But I don't want this to come across that I'm a Tom Cruise fan. I'm not. I do enjoy some of his work, but I'm not the sort of one who watches his best ofs or sit downs and watches interviews or anything like that. But there are YouTube, like the old algorithm, and I'm going to completely mess this up again. But the old algorithm, I've had stuff pop up. I'll be watching like Stephen Scullion and Philly Bowden, Adam Fogg. I'm a fan of his YouTube stuff
Yeah.
as well. Morgan McDonald and Lee Hoare, The Coffee
Yeah.
Club. I enjoy their stuff. But lo and behold, there was a video that popped up recently of people analysing Tom Cruise's run form in his movies. And
Yeah.
I felt compelled to watch it. And I did. And they sort of just picked it apart and how he ran. And I was like, wow, like people are actually doing this. This is a thing. So there's content for everything and everyone on the internet. You can find almost anything to back up a point, even if it's not true. But yeah, there's a lot of people who are fans of the way that Tom Cruise runs. He does cover the ground pretty well, and he
He
is,
does, mate. There's been ESPN have written articles where they asked some sprint experts what they thought he would run over the 100, and a few people reckon he'd go 12 seconds.
No, he's in
Yeah.
his 50s.
I mean, this is probably peak
We're
Cruise.
talking like prime Tom Cruise.
We're talking
12s.
probably 90s, I'd say.
Yeah,
Is, yeah, I mean, people have
that's
been clocking him in Mission Impossible role in like 25 k's an hour, but
running sub 60 for a half in Mission Impossible.
yeah. Anyway, mate, we better clock off, because most people have probably thrown their iPods in the river or something at this point. So we'll be back next week. We'll have a guest. We are in negotiations with a run to BB athlete to jump on, so that will be fun. Oh, actually, we may have the Tassie duo,
Next week.
because it's race week, and we might have to see if we can get a hold of our man Paul Reason and Maddie Morgan. I know Maddie was look. Fair to say he got a bit festive and he had to shift the week with add an extra recovery day in there, just because of he might have just got a bit hydrated over the Christmas period. But he is still going well, and Paul Reason is flying at the moment, knocked out a big mono. So I think he rolled a five, like a PB over the mono distance. So things are just bubbling away there, Chris. I think we'll have to get him on for a bit of a preview of the Night of Fives down in Hobart. Knock Off Run Club is
I like this. We might, if we can get the boys on, You might need to send an advance warning to Spotify, iTunes, because you might break it. When you
Yeah.
upload this, that could be enough. Like the internet may shut down.
Well, we usually put explicit when we put the rating. We might have to see if there's another tier above that.
Oh,
Like, there's used to be M plus AO, or I don't know, like R, wasn't it? R was 18
ah,
plus.
like I don't know,
This
do we
is triple
go?
X, mate. This is going to be
Yeah.
Chris.
We like
We'll work
A4.
on that. We'll work on a team run to BB interview, and as well as getting the two prize fighters on next week for a bit of a chat. We'll be back. You'll have knocked out some more sessions, and we can chat about that.
Mate, I'm all that and more, and just think like I've just put in, has Tom Cruise run a marathon? He has not, but I'm actually staggered by the sheer amount of articles that pop up on Google. Like even the Balanced Runner has done a form analysis on Tom Cruise. And I'm not sure whether to celebrate that or if I'm just frightened.
Wow.
Yeah. Gosh, I'm not going to sleep tonight.
Yeah, you've gone down the rabbit hole, mate.
I've gone too far this time.
Nora might need to pull you out of there, mate.
Okay.
Might need to disconnect the internet for a few
I
days.
have
Just
to put the parental controls on the internet and
throw it on
block
airplane mode, mate.
like.
All right, mate. Enjoy your Tom Cruise surfing, and
Oh, no.
we'll be back next week for more chat.
Will. Thanks, mate.
See you, mate.